Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Arnold Donald. How are you, Arnold?
Robert, I'm great, and it's great to be on the CEO Show. Thank you.
And Arnold's the CEO of Carnival Corporation, which I believe is the world's complete largest cruise operation, 150,000 people in 140 countries, and tons of brands. Just talk about quickly what the brand is, and then we want to get into the core of the matter, travel, leadership, DEI.
Sure, Rob. You know, as you said, we're the world's, some people say, largest travel and leisure company. We have nine world leading brands. Carnival, of course, our namesake brand in North America, but also Holland America, Princess, our ultra-luxury brand, Seabourn. And then over in Europe, we have P&O, which is about 96% British source, Cunard, which is a British brand, but it's a global source brand. And then we have AIDA in Germany, about 98% German source, and Costa, our continental European brand that's Italian-based. And then we have P&O Australia, in Australia. And so those are our nine brands, and they all bring great, joyful vacation experiences and celebrate the human spirit with our guests from over 200 countries and our crew from 145 countries. But we actually go to about 700 different ports around the world pre-COVID.
And how do you manage such a complex business? You know, what's your job really like when you've nine different major brands, you're all throughout the world, you've 150,000 people, you've been in leadership for years and years and years. Carnival since 2013, but tons of leadership in Monsanto and everything before that. What's your philosophy on how to lead such a complex enterprise?
Well, you know, it's not anything uncommon. The bottom line is you have to have great people, and you have to know how to listen. You listen to your guests, in our case, your customer, but our customers are our guests, because they'll tell you how to exceed their expectations. And then you listen to your employees, because they'll tell you how to deliver that to the guests in a sustainable way. You listen to all your other stakeholders, the investors, the media, the communities you touch and serve, et cetera. And so, you know, listening is a key aspect of leadership, and is one that's very often not spoken about enough. But good listening puts you in touch with what you need to do to deliver against other people's needs and expectations, which makes for a successful business. So we have a federation of brands. The goal is that each brand is stronger because they're in the federation if they would be on their own. So we leverage our scale, not just from a cost standpoint, but also from an ideation standpoint and a sharing of best practice standpoint. And you do it through constant communication. You know, we have a leadership team comprising the key departments as well as the key brands that meets frequently, a couple of times a week now, and during COVID. For a while, we met every day and can do it virtually. And so we stay in constant communication so we can accelerate the learnings and identify the issues where we can, again, leverage the scale so each brand is stronger than it would be on its own.
And how do you really listen? And from listening, what's the best practice that you've come up with that you say, this really works?
Well, what really works first is getting people aligned around a common objective. And the way to do that, I start with three questions. What does success look like for you and your family 5 years from now? What does success look like for you professionally and your brand or your department, you know, 5 years from now? And what does success to you look like for this corporation, this, you know, federation of brands 5 years from now? Those three questions. And it's pretty amazing how quickly people discover what they have in common. So then they can quickly align around a common objective, serving what their needs are, what their personal and family needs are, what the brand or the department they're championing's needs are, and ultimately what the shareholders' needs are from creating value from the corporation. So start with those three questions. We repeat them often to make sure we're staying together. And then, again, the rest, as I said, is you know, constant communication using all types of communication tools.
And You must have learned a lot. I know your dad was a carpenter. You're the youngest of five, but your parents actually had 27 foster children. So I'm thinking somewhere in there, Arnold is learning how to listen, how to understand different types of people.
Yeah, I guess. I haven't done the childhood, you know, psychoanalysis stuff or all that, but there's no question my parents were very giving. I was very fortunate to be born into the family. They were very generous. It taught me at an early age that I wasn't that important, that, you know, there's a lot of other people here that have needs and desires and aspirations too, and that the best way to achieve those things is to do it together and to support each other. And so all of that probably did instill in me, you know, just an orientation of being supportive of people to help them achieve what they're aspiring to. And in doing that, you know, you'll get their support to achieve, you know, what you're trying to aspire to.
And we're going to talk about travel later in the second part, but I want to stay on this topic. So you were CEO of the Executive Leadership Council.
Yes.
And I told the African-Americans, and what's wrong? How do we get to a better society? What did you learn from that role, and what's your vision?
Well, Robert, thanks for asking the question. Really, you know, people get confused on diversity and inclusion at times. I think the key message is this. In a capitalistic society like ours, communities thrive when businesses thrive. You can see any community where, you know, large businesses have gone under or fallen apart or whatever, been acquired and moved. And it has huge impact on that community, education, recreation, arts, everything. And so communities thrive over time as businesses thrive in a capitalist society. Businesses thrive over time through innovation. You have to, you know, evolve. You have to either evolve your brands, your work processes, et cetera, but you have to innovate. Innovation, by definition, is thinking outside the box. It's diversity of thinking. You are far more likely to permanently engineer diversity of thinking if you have a diverse employee base at all levels. And if you have that, You get people with different backgrounds, different experiences, different perspectives, different educational training, you know, different discipline training, and you put them together. If they're aligned around a common objective and they really are diverse thinkers, you have to put in processes for them to work together because, again, they're different from each other. They're not naturally always going to work together. So you have to, you know, put in interventions to help that process. But the key is getting them aligned around a common objective, and they will out-solution a homogeneous group of people almost every time. I personally have experienced it in being a part of transforming three different industries over my career, and I see it happen, and it's just a fact. So if you want communities to thrive, and if you want businesses to thrive over time, you have to engineer diversity, and you have to engineer it, because we're all human beings, and we tend to cluster around likes, you know, people that are similar to us. And
How do you engineer it? What specifically should a CEO do? What are the steps that they say, if I do this, I'm going to engineer it?
First and foremost, you have to own it. You have to believe in it. Because it's just like nobody asks the question, well, how do you create profits? Well, because you know that's your job, to create shareholder value. You have to generate earnings and so on and so forth. And that's just the job. So you have to think about it that way. And so what it means is, You can't just tick the boxes. One of the common mistakes people make is they'll say, well, interview the person, they don't fit our culture. Well, that may be the person you need, because, you know, you want diversity of thinking. And so you can't, in my case, I hired a couple of people. One I brought in didn't have a college degree. They were very successful in life, but didn't have a college degree. So I didn't tick a box about college degree. I looked for leadership. They hadn't run a major organization with a lot of people. They had run organizations, but they hadn't directed, you know, operating businesses, et cetera. So I brought that person in, but I made sure that there were people below that person who understood our business. There were people besides me above that person who was going to empower and support that person. But she brought in diversity of thinking that has led to tremendous success for that brand. I did a similar thing with an African-American who had been in HR, talent search, that kind of stuff. but I saw the key aspects and again, surrounded him with people that had the fundamental skills. And he brought in his special, you know, angle to it and contributed to the broader team with perspectives on how to manage talent, recruit, attract, retain talent and stuff and help everybody across the corporation, but also had a very successful impact on the brand. And has since, you know, gone on to, you know, be part of a private equity group that has purchased the brand and now he's an owner. And so, you know, these are good things, but you have to think outside the box. You can't just stay in the norm, because if you do that, because diversity hasn't happened along the way, your pool is going to be so small. But if you think about it differently, you have a much broader pool than you think. But you have to engineer them for success.
Okay, thank you. We're about to take a commercial break. When we come back, Arnold, you're going to tell us what's really going on in the travel industry and what is the future of it. Back in a few.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach. The dead doctors don't lie guy says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, this is Robert Greese on the CEO Show, and with Arnold Donald, who is the CEO of Carnival Corporation and the largest cruise line in the world, 150,000 people. Let's talk about the whole cruise industry. Obviously, in the pandemic, everything was changed completely. Talk about what you learned through that, and then we're going to talk about the future of the travel industry.
Well, first of all, it's no surprise to anyone. The pandemic was devastating for the cruise industry. We voluntarily paused as an industry, even before we were asked to here in the U.S., but we paused around the world. So we stopped our guest operations. The unusual thing about the cruise industry is when we stop our guest operations, our ships don't stop. We have to operate the ships. If you don't, over time, they'll lock up, mold will set in, and you can't fix them. You have to scrap them and build a new ship. So to protect the asset base, you have to keep it operating. So we had significant burn rate with zero revenue. And scale, when things are positive, is a wonderful thing. When you have zero revenue, scale is not so wonderful because you have a huge burn rate with no revenue coming in to offset it. So we had to manage that. But most importantly, beyond that, you start with your principles. Our number one priority, and therefore, you know, our highest responsibility, is compliance, environmental protection, and the health, safety, and well-being of everyone. That's our guests, it's the people in the communities we touch and serve, and of course, it's the members of our Carnival family. That's our shipboard and shoreside personnel. So you begin with that. So when this pandemic first happened, we had 90,000 crew members we had to get home safely and protect them while we were getting them home. When airlines weren't flying, borders were closed, et cetera. So that was job one. We had a bunch of shoreside employees who were nervous and not knowing what was going to happen. We had to make certain we gave them soft landings, you know, by continuing to make sure we could provide them employment for a period of time. And we needed many of them to help the crew get home. And so those were fundamental things we had to do in honoring our fundamental priority and our highest responsibility. And we had to do it in a way that was safe. So we got together with medical experts around the world, and while people didn't understand the epidemiology of coronavirus, they didn't understand the transmission characteristics at that point in time. You know, we had to put in protocols based on the advice of World Health Organizations, but individual specialists around the world that we relied on to make sure we got through all that. Over time, all that evolved into a very successful management during the pandemic. We used the time to get leaner, more efficient, to come back a stronger corporation. We sold 22 ships or recycled a number of them, of our less efficient ships, so our cost structure is improved. We brought on new ships, many of them, several of them LNG. There are six LNG-powered ships in the world. All six happen to be ours across our brands. Greatly reduces carbon emissions, so we're honoring our aspiration for 40% carbon reduction, soon. And so you have to stay focused on your core things. And at the same time, don't waste the crisis. How can you get better? How can you be more efficient? How can you be even more responsible, you know, with the people that depend on you, not only your employees, but all the people? You know, one job on a cruise ship is 5 to 7 other jobs in the economy. There are so many people, you know, small tour operators, restaurateurs, travel agent community, et cetera, that are dependent on the cruise industry. So those are the things you do, and you just have to stay focused on it. We had to raise a lot of money. You know, we did during that time, originally $23.5 billion or so of transactions, 14 different transactions. Now we're up to $29 billion as we start to refinance some of the stuff we've done earlier. We did it all virtually. with nobody in an office, not the investors, not the bankers, not us, not anyone. So all of that simultaneously, but keeping in mind the highest priorities, compliance, environmental protection, health, safety, and well-being of everyone.
So I commend you, because it's amazing when you're talking about the burn rate that you have to keep things going and there's no revenue. But now let's talk about the future. We might be coming out of the pandemic, but no one really knows. But everyone's itching to travel. They're itching to go back, do what they were doing. What do you realistically see as the future?
You know, Robert, one of the amazing things throughout it all was we never really saw a demand crisis for cruise. People wanted to cruise. Those who have cruised for a long time have confidence. You know, we have medical services on board. We have a lot of practices in place. We've had to deal with viruses before, Zika, Ebola, SARS, MERS, on and on. So we've had to deal with all these things. So once the epidemiology was understood, the transmission characteristics were understood, we were able to put in protocols that have us actually have a higher incidence of safety than you would see on land. So we have fewer cases on shift than you would see on land, and it's because of the protocols and understanding that we have of how to manage. Having said all that, the future is very bright for cruise. There's maybe pre-COVID, there were about a half a billion people a year that take an extended vacation. Only 30 million could take a cruise because that's all the cabins we had in a year. And the reality is we sail full, and not just our nine brands, but almost all the brands, we sail full. And the reason for that is because, again, we're much better valued than equivalent land-based vacation at every level, whether it's mass contemporary up to ultra luxury. We're just a much better value relative to equivalent land-based vacation. And people find, generally, we're a better experience. Where else can you go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning in a different place where you can have completely different experiences if you want to? Or you can enjoy a spa treatment or just eating, you know, fine dining with, you know, outstanding chefs. You know, Thomas Keller is our chef on the ultra-luxury brand Seabourn, for example. And Guy Fieri does our burgers on mass contemporary brand Carnival. So, you know, the food is fantastic. The entertainment is great, et cetera. And you go to beautiful destinations where you can connect with people, whether it's crew to guests, crew to crew, guest to guest, our crew and guests of the locals. So the future is very bright. I think by 23, depending on, you know, it depends on lots of things. We have to see where the virus goes or the future variants. We have to see what happens with geopolitical tensions. All of that, you know, we were rolling. We were looking for a great season in the Baltic. And then, of course, Ukraine invasion happened. And, you know, of course, my heart goes out to all of those because we have several thousand Ukrainian and Russian crew on our ships. And my heart goes out to all those directly impacted by the invasion of Ukraine. I mean, it's a terrible thing. But it also had us remove St. Petersburg from those itineraries. And so we'll have to see how all that plays out. But the bottom line is there's big demand. Cruise is, you know, a great way to experience the world and experience travel. And we're all about bringing joyful vacations and connecting people.
Now, you only have 30 seconds left on this interview, but WTTC,
yes.
Let's talk about it.
Well, WTTC has been a big force, has been for many years, but especially during this period of the pandemic, because the goal there is simply to get frictionless travel for people. So, again, they can discover what they have in common and learn to celebrate differences rather than to fear what brings the world together. And they do that through bringing all of the companies together with governments around the world to align around what's the way to make it easiest for people to travel safely and securely. And that's the essence of what WTTC does, and it brings the best mind, diversity of thinking from all types of corporations and from every government around the world.
And there you have it.
Hey, thank you so much, Robert. Appreciate it. The future is bright. We just have to.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here with Dr. Jim Madera. How are you?
Doing well today. How about you, Robert?
Very well, and glad to be with you. Jim is the CEO of American Medical Association, which is the largest organization of physicians as well as medical students in the world, with about 270,000 members. It was founded in 1847. Talk a little bit about what the organization is, and then go into, in 2011, when you took over, what your strategy was and how that's doing.
Well, you know, our mission statement is promote the art and science of medicine and the betterment of public health. And when we advocate, that's what we advocate for. And we want to be this powerful ally to physicians in patient care that they deliver. So you can think of the organization as being composed of multiple pieces. You know, there's the membership component that you mentioned. Then there's the House of Delegates, which are all the medical societies, state and specialty societies that make up our House and in a democratic way debate and formulate the policy of the AMA. Most all physicians in the United States link to elements that are present in the House. We have business products as well. We steward the nation's CPT codes, so we can follow the procedures that are done on patients by physicians in a normalized way. We have R&D that includes things like the medical education area, where we have a consortium of 37 medical schools, thought leader in tomorrow's medical education. We have our Journal of the American Medical Association, with 290,000 circulating issues every week globally, the widest circulating general medical journal, variety of other elements as well. And then lastly, we have a advocacy office that advocates for that mission statement. And underlying all of this, we have an innovation ecosystem as well, both in D.C. and Chicago, and a for-profit subsidiary in Menlo Park on Sand Hill Road, Health 2047.
Over the last 2 years, I know your strategy had been around building this this ecosystem of healthcare. How has, with the pandemic, your mission changed, or has it changed?
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot during the pandemic. First of all, in terms of how we operate, we learned that we can do a lot remotely. In fact, I was astonished by how quickly and effectively we moved to full remote in the organization. Having said that, there is no substitution for person-to-person interactions. And as remote went on, one could start feeling that there was a little bit of a tilt back to siloing that we had gotten away from. There was a little more back-end workarounds by IT, finance, general counsel, HR, as people started drifting in process. So we learned that we have a different mix of needing to be together on one hand, needing to be remote on the other. And then the other big thing that came out of the pandemic was a reinforcement that our strategic framework fit the moment very well, and there were certain components of it.
I want to ask you about telemedicine, because you're really at the epicenter of what works and what doesn't. What have you found in terms of efficacy of medical outcomes from using telemedicine, which is now obviously growing geometrically? Is it good? Is it bad? What do you see as the future?
Well, I'll tell you, Robert, this was astonishing to witness. In 2020, when the pandemic began, from the end of 2019 to the summer of 2020, the use of telehealth and telemedicine didn't grow by a factor of 3 or a factor of 10. It grew by 2 orders of magnitude. It was astonishing to see. And a lot of this was allowed by the loosening of restrictions around telemedicine that existed before, loosening of restrictions because of the public health emergency. Now, there are some things that just can't be done by telemedicine, but a lot that can. I myself had an arthroscopy during the pandemic, and my follow-up was home by telemedicine. Obviously, the arthroscopy had to be done, you know, person to person, and the initial exam with the imaging and hands-on were done. But with the follow-up, it was really comfortable, I think, for my surgeon and myself. And it was really also intimate. I got to meet my orthopedic surgeon's wife and see their new dog, which had a really personal aspect to it as well.
So that's interesting. So you're saying it actually personalizes things more, which I hadn't considered as much, but you're right.
For example, I've talked with a diabetologist who appreciated with the home visit asking the patient to go to the refrigerator, open the door, and see what was in there in terms of recognizing what diet might be. So what we're really advocating for now is to retain at the end of the emergency state to retain the flexibilities that we have for telehealth and telemedicine now so we can blend it in. And then in thinking about business models, we are also working with practices that do a lot of telemedicine, because if you have telemedicine on one hand and face-to-face on the other, you have two kind of business models. And how can you put those in one practice most effectively is a problem that we're working on currently.
How about since you're so involved with innovation, obviously the trend is towards home health care. What is your vision for that?
In my own career, I've seen a move from inpatient dominant to outpatient dominant, and now you're starting to see the move from outpatient to home. The number one killer in our society is high blood pressure, hypertension. It's a chronic disease that needs to be followed in various ways. It could be followed at home. And in fact, blood pressures that are taken at home can be more accurate than those taken in the clinic because of something, you know, that we call the white coat effect. People are uptight when they go to see a physician in a clinic, obviously, and their blood pressure may be a little elevated. But now you have to know the blood pressures are taken well by a validated cuff. Ideally, you would have electronic means to send those signals, those important biosignals, into and organize into an electronic record. And we have tools where we're starting to do that. We're testing those in the real world in the next quarter. But getting biosignals from the home are going to be a very important part of healthcare in the future. And in fact, you even start seeing things emerging like hospital at home, where with special kinds of activities and support, a physician in an emergency room can write a prescription saying, admit to home. So we start seeing a lot, I think, more of home care, but the connectedness aspect needs to be overcome right now. I have to point out, Robert, where we are right now in terms of, you know, how physicians can function with patients. We did a study collaboratively with RAND Health in multiple markets some years ago. And the question is, what satisfies physicians and then what are dissatisfiers? And the number one, two, and three satisfiers were FaceTime with patients. That's what physicians wanted. Then we did a multi-market study with Dartmouth in how physicians spend their time. And for every hour a physician spends face-to-face with a patient, he or her, that physician, spends approximately 2 hours on data entry and administrative work. So here you have this workforce that's very well trained. You know, it's an expensive workforce, and you want it to use it to its highest principle, but you basically turn that workforce into the most expensive administrative outsourcing that this country has. And so as a consequence of that has been measured in a series of studies we've done in collaboration with Mayo Clinic and Stanford on physician burnout. And not surprisingly, physician burnout is higher than other white-collar professions. And I think a lot of this is due to the fact that physicians want to see patients but are blocked from doing so by administrative requirements.
Okay, thank you, Jim. That's quite interesting about the future. We're about to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what you're doing in terms of advocacy. Back in a few.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word demo, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dr. Jim Madera, who is the CEO of American Medical Association, about 290,000 members, and we've heard about the journal that goes across once a week, which is the largest of any of its type. But you also mentioned the advocacy that you're involved with, and I'm wondering, in areas like opiates, it sounds like you're really taking a lead here, and also things like gun violence as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, these are problems in society that physicians face in their offices every day. And, you know, we need to have freedom in which to treat and deal with these problems. So, for example, having naloxone widely available for overdose treatment and not having it so restricted.
Okay, this to me is a surprise. I knew there was a problem, but I never realized a 2-to-1 ratio in the reverse direction that it should be. What could be done about this? We're trying to improve healthcare. Shouldn't there be solutions to this?
There are, I think, and that's one of the areas that we advocate for, is to get rid of the administrative trivia that is layered onto physicians. And also our health system could be simpler. I mean, one of the things that we, in our health system, we have that other health systems, including Europe and Canada, don't, is this huge administrative waste by having multiple processes. So an example of this, one physician's office might have 20 different contracts with payers. And with Medicare Advantage, there might be, 10 different flavors of Medicare Advantage. And all those contracts will require measures of, say, quality. But each one has a different measure of quality. So there's not uniformity in how this area, important area of quality, is viewed by payers and also the federal government. So we have this incredible administrative complexity that falls down onto the physician in the offices. Another example of this would be what is called prior authorization. And that is when a payer decides that, we need to make sure this drug is actually needed. Perfectly legitimate if it's right-sized. But right now, an average physician will see 34 prior authorizations per week. And to satisfy those prior authorizations, it takes someone in the office, the physician or someone that's working with the physician, 16 hours a week. So an FTE for 2 days a week just for prior authorization. And it's very rare that it's not permitted to go forward eventually, but usually there's a lapse in treatment to the detriment of patient care. So there are these many obstacles that we have embedded in our system that needs to be simplified.
Very, very disturbing to hear. but I guess it's a taste of reality. But so with all of these obstacles, what is your vision for the future of healthcare?
We take what I would call a pre-competitive view of this. And what I mean by that is in this nation, with all of its complexity, it's really hard to predict what the health system is going to look like mid-century. So the pre-competitive judgments are, what do we need to make a system work regardless of its form? You know, what is it any system need? And so we think there are three things that are three strategic arcs in our framework. The first is removing the obstacles so the physicians can spend time with patients, patients can have more time with physicians, as we were discussing. The second is educating the workforce for the 21st century, not the 20th. The 21st century is, you know, as we talk about, moving from inpatient to outpatient to home. It's team-based, huge amounts of data. One can no longer memorize all the data and facts that you need. So that's a different kind of learning environment. It's more data utilization, data manipulation, how to think about population health, all of these things. So educating the workforce for the 21st century is the second one. And the third one is, how do we deal with chronic disease? In the last half century, the greatest change in the health and disease burden in the United States has been this move from episodic to chronic disease. Need to be taken care of COVID now, and you know, the chronic sequela of COVID. So we have taken one primary example of chronic disease, and that's hypertension. And we're trying to pick the lock on how we can better control hypertension in our population. An example of that would be we've created a tool that will go into a physician's electronic record, interrogate it for all patients with hypertension, who's controlled and who's not. And we've learned from that is when physicians get a actionable panel of organized data, they react to it. And what that reaction does is increase the control in the practice from about 50%, just over 50%, upwards of 80%. And if you look at the literature, that should be saving about a quarter of the strokes and cardiovascular, you know, complications that occur in our population. So we need to get our arms around chronic disease. There's going to be more of it, not less of it, in the future.
What is it that CEOs don't know about healthcare that you think they should know about healthcare?
Well, one thing, if there's harmonization of requirements, whether it be quality, you know, electronic forms of the record, the cost will go down. If one has an extension of the physician's office into the community, one of our companies coming out of Health 2047, First Mile Care, does this with prediabetes, one could have enormous savings. So administrative simplification. And, you know, I think, you know, people recognizing how we use our workforce today in the way I described, you know, this 2-to-1 ratio, it is, you know, a massive waste of talent and a massive waste of medical expertise in this country that goes on day after day the way we're fragmented currently.
I commend you for being at the front of arguably the single most important issue in our world today, which is health. A pleasure having you on the CEO show.
It was greatly enjoyable. Thank you, Robert.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.